Greetings from Long Time No See, the podcast. Every week, we'll be inviting two blindfolded comedians to answer a series of questions about their careers, lives, and opinions. Now, let's remove those blindfolds and start the show.
Hi!
What would your opening line with your celebrity crush be?
Loved you in Harry Potter.
Worst date you've been on?
A man bit my neck mole off once.
You did what?
A man bit my neck mole off.
Oh my God, Jack almost fell off his chair.
Be sure to follow and subscribe to the podcast.
Tour set, pop!
I have kind of like a funny, cute, weird story to tell you.
Yeah.
You know how like every couple has like their weird things that they do together.
Yeah.
Everyone, I hope that everyone can feel like they are their biggest, weirdest self with their significant other, you know, just your true weirdo. So Jordan and I are super weird together. And throughout our relationship, we've had like little funny things that like he does that just cracks me up. Like, if you know me well, like, you know, there's not a lot of things that really truly makes me laugh out loud, especially just out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
But Jordan is able to do it anytime.
Well, that's good.
And so earlier he was like sitting on the couch and I was just kind of messing with him, you know, like poking him, trying to tickle him or whatever, just being annoying. He had just gotten home from work, so I needed attention. And he just out of nowhere puffed his lips up, puffed his cheeks out, and puffed his chest out and was just like, like,
oh my gosh,
you know, like a, like a puffer fish, like out of like,
so random.
Like, this is what he does, like this physical comedy. And so like, it cracked me up so much. And I'm like, oh my God, you look just like a puffer fish. Just the way he puffed his chest. It was like, I messed with him too much. It just made him like expand into it.
That's so funny.
Like a defense tactic. So
yeah.
yeah, I just wanted to share that with you because I thought it was
That's hilarious.
Really funny and super cute.
Oh, that is so cute. I can so see him doing that.
Oh my gosh, he does weird shit like that all the time, and it's one of the reasons why I love him so much, because like it gets me right there. It just makes me crack up so much. So
that's good.
Anyways, just wanted to share. So yeah, on that note, welcome back, Iconics. And if you're new to the podcast, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and this is Stanning BTS.
Yes.
Yes. Welcome to another wonderful episode where we get to hang out for about an hour and just talk about BTS.
What a wonderful hour it is, too. But disclaimer, this is an informative fangirl podcast. That means that we're going to fangirl, laugh, and learn a little bit along the way.
Yep, that's right. This is an explicit podcast, though, so if you aren't cool with that, you can dip out now. We won't blame you.
Totally. But if you're down for some, Jungkook is such an incredible lyricist and producer.
He really is. Or I think I can speak on behalf of all ARMYs that Jin during Stay Gold wrecks us all.
Oh my God, he really does. So if you're here for that, then you're in the right place.
So for an overview of today's episode, we're going to discuss BTS's newly released Japanese album, Map of the Soul 7, The Journey. So we're going to talk about each of the new songs on the album, and then we're going to share our thoughts on the various promotional performances that were also released.
Mm-hmm. But before we get into today's episode, we want to say thank you, Iconics, for being here and for supporting us. If you'd like to support us even further and have access to our Google Docs full of episode notes, important links and pictures, or if you'd like to have access to some of our pre-recording conversation sessions, you can do that by donating monthly to our Patreon at patreon.com/stanningbts.
Or if you'd like, you can make a one-time donation at paypal.me/stanningbtspodcast. Your support helps us to improve the quality of our content and to continue putting out weekly episodes. Any type of support is super appreciated. Thank you for being here and thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you guys. Our charity of the month for the month of July is Conservation International. Please continue to support Conservation International alongside of us. Your donations help to empower societies to responsibly and sustainably care for nature, our global biodiversity, and for the well-being of humanity.
Yes, thank you guys for donating alongside us, and continue to donate and support Black Lives Matter as well.
Yes, as well.
Okay, so for some introductory information, Map of the Soul 7, The Journey was released on July 14th, 2020 as BTS's fourth Japanese studio album. This album is their first full-length Japanese album in 2 years since the 2018 Face Yourself. The album contains Japanese versions of songs from their Love Yourself Answer, Map of the Soul Persona, and Map of the Soul 7 albums, as well as four new original Japanese tracks, including Intro Calling, the lead single Stay Gold, Your Eyes Tell, and Outro The Journey.
Yeah, so I saw some confusion online about these previous songs, about these songs from previous albums showing up on this album. So I just wanted to clarify. Typically with their Japanese albums, their goal is not to release an entirely new album. Rather, I think it's to just provide their music to their Japanese audience in Japanese, just because they know the language more and they're able to do it. That way they're also able to cross over into the J-pop scene a little bit. So they put all of their hit best songs that are already amazing in Korean, and they put them in Japanese so they can show up and be in that community as well.
Yeah. And this is kind of a common thing that goes on with some K-pop groups where they'll do a Japanese release as well, or a Japanese album. I know that Twice does this.
Yeah.
And I'm sure other groups do as well.
Yeah, so it wasn't ever intended to be a fully new with all new songs, although we are very excited about the four new songs on this album, and we really like them. Yeah. So something that they did that was really cool with this release was this BTS Map of the Soul 7, The Journey online showcase event. And we were really confused on social media seeing all of these clips. Like, where are they coming from? What are these videos from?
Where are people watching it?
Yeah, I checked all the places, YouTube, both of their, you know, like their Japanese channel on YouTube, Weverse, VLive, everything. Nowhere. Where is it? Yeah. So this event was only available for Japanese armies who bought the actual physical album in Japan. So almost like a Bang Bang Con, the live event, but only for Japanese armies buying the album. I think that's very cool. Super exclusive. Yeah. They did
very exclusive.
Yeah. They did a 50-minute talk / performance where they performed some of the songs from the album. And then they also just kind of all sat and talked about it, answered questions about it. A very, very cool experience that they did there for this release.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They also released a variety of performances through various Japanese broadcasting networks. There was many different sources. We're not really familiar with these networks, but these performances essentially took on the role of comeback stages. So we have seen these comeback stages from various sources such as NHK, NTV's Buzzroom Rhythm 02, Japan TBS CDTV, and of course the online showcase event that we just mentioned.
Yeah. So this was really all kind of confusing for both you and I, because I mean, maybe because we were new armies, I don't remember it as much, or I maybe didn't have any connection or resources to figure it out. But like when Face Yourself was released, I don't remember them doing this type of Japanese comeback performance type things that they did to promote their new Japanese album for The Journey.
Yeah.
So it was really different.
Yeah, for sure. What I remember as far as promotion for Face Yourself was just that they had concerts in Japan that they performed those Japanese songs at. But yeah. I don't recall them doing like specific promos and specific like performances put out. Maybe they're doing that because of COVID and it's not like they can go have a concert in Japan.
Maybe that's exactly what they're doing. So that's why it was different this time around.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't like they were advertised very much too. Like I just saw random, you know, clips here and there on social media and had to find where they came from. But it wasn't like, here's our comeback stages, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, long story short, we're kind of confused on where a lot of it all took place. And, you know, we just don't know a lot of these Japanese networks. And, you know, we didn't have access to the online showcase event. So we were kind of a little blindsided by it. But during research, this is kind of what we gathered and collected from what we could.
Mm-hmm.
But let's go ahead and get into the new songs on the album. So the very first song that is new for their Map of the Soul 7, The Journey Japanese album is Intro Calling. So Intro Calling, it starts off with this really beautiful instrumental and it just builds. It really builds. It's very uplifting and ambient. But what I really love with this beginning instrumental, if you listen carefully, you know, it's very uplifting. So you hear these major chords, but there's twice where this happens, where there's this minor chord change. And it really adds to the depth and complication of the instrumental there at the beginning. Mm-hmm. It sounds a little mysterious and just, yes, it's very uplifting and it builds, but then there's this weird minor chord in there that I'm like, whoa, that just really threw me off for a second.
Yeah, I feel like those two little minor chords really take the instrumental from being really good to really great. Like the depth that it adds to the song just makes it a little perplexing and a little more interesting.
Definitely. It caught my ear for sure. Mm-hmm. But also with Intro Calling, there's a lot of abstract remixing that happens. And this is a consistency with their other Japanese albums, especially for the intros and outros. So it was just really kind of cool to hear that being brought back in a different way. So it just seems experimental to me, where they just test and trial new sounds and producing that they don't normally do for their regular albums.
Mm-hmm. It makes me think of them like dabbling into a different medium, like in art, when an artist will like, oh, normally I use acrylic, but today I'm going to use watercolor or something. And it's doing the same kind of thing, but in such a different way, as far as song production goes. And it really is, it makes me think of art, like fine art, when they experiment in this way. It's really creative the way that they're playing with the music. And I would go so far as to say that it is magnificent the way that they play with all these sounds and blend them together and, you know, still are able to make a very perplexing, interesting, beautiful song. And it is lyricless and, you know, it doesn't really have vocals in it either.
Yeah, definitely.
I feel like it's a really bright and meditative song. Like you were saying, it's very uplifting. I feel like this is a song that, you know, you listen to like before meditating or right after meditating or something. Mm-hmm. Like it just has that kind of bringing you up and out feeling with it.
Yeah. This very transitional sound. Yes. Mm-hmm. That brings that. There's also distorted vocals within the song from Stay Gold. And again, this is a common thing that BTS do for their Japanese albums. Mm-hmm. So I always go back to Face Yourself, because that was our first Japanese album that was released. And they sample songs like Let Go and Best of Me in it. So to hear that Stay Gold is sampled within this intro just makes so much sense for me. And I love that like they're changing it up, but there's still these like little consistencies.
Yeah, the consistencies throughout their Japanese albums is so interesting to me. And again, makes me think of like it's being a different section of their art, you know, and another area that they can kind of express themselves a little bit differently. And I just think it's so interesting. this usage of vocalization as a means of like production really adds to the ambiance of the song, because it's not, there's not like true vocals coming through, you know, it's not, you're not really meant to be able to pick out a bunch of different lyrics or whatever, but it's filling in the instrumental so well and so masterfully. And I think it's a really good priming song for the album because it has that uplifting, bright feeling that is perfect for bringing us into what Stay Gold makes us feel like. But
it
having
really
those
captivates you and brings you in. Yeah, I love that you said it primes you.
Yeah. And having those distorted vocals of Stay Gold, like, I think it's cool that the next song is Stay Gold, and it's just kind of like the, it's a little bit of a teaser, a little bit of a, like you said, captivating mm-hmm. your interest into it completely.
Yeah.
So getting into Stay Gold, this is the lead single of the album. And as far as production wise, we're kind of a little sad to say, but we will talk about it here in a second, mm-hmm. that this was not written or produced by BTS at all. Which
is so rare.
So rare. Not the norm for them. I ask you to go to any of their albums, especially all these recent ones, and find a song that a BTS member's name is not on, because mm-hmm. it's, I would say, like, barely any, you know.
I can't think of one.
I can't think of one. I mean, we've gone through these albums for album reviews. So we've looked mm-hmm. at who produces and writes and arranges each song, and we know that it's, you know, a combination of any of the members and like P-Dog, you know? So it's interesting that this song was not written or produced by them at all. It was written and produced by UTA, KM Market, Jun, and Sunny Boy. We don't really know why they wouldn't have worked on this song themselves. It was supposed to be the lead single and original soundtrack for this Japanese show called Spiral Labyrinth DNA Science Investigation. The show's release was postponed due to COVID, so the release of this song was postponed. So we don't know if maybe, oh, okay, it was supposed to be an OST, so they wanted something specific and BTS didn't write it. They just wanted them to perform it or something. But regardless of that, it's still a really catchy song. And it's still a good song, and they do perform it very, very well. Jin actually said, he's quoted saying, "The key point of this song is the chorus. If you listen to it once, it'll probably get stuck in your head," which is
absolutely
so true.
Very true. When we went into record just now to get us motivated, we rewatched some of the performances of Stay Gold. And wow, I mean, we both were just singing to it the whole mm-hmm. time. Like, Stay
How can
Gold.
You not?
How can you not? It's just so, so wonderful to just belt it over and over. Stay Gold, Stay Gold. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely catchy and get stuck in your head.
Yeah.
But the way that BTS deliver this song, it is just beyond uplifting, and it's just this sense of overjoyment, and you get this huge wave of serotonin because mm-hmm. it's just that the way that they deliver it makes you feel like you can just take on the world. Like, it's very yeah. inspiring that I could overcome anything and that I should stay true to myself even in times of despair. And, mm-hmm. you know, I gotta stay gold, and that we're all golden and special, and that, you know, to not get down on ourselves even when times
yeah.
are tough.
That feeling, that wave of serotonin, just like, it is immense for me when listening to this song. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like I'm on top of the world, you know, as I'm singing Stay Gold.
Yeah.
Da, 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 da. You know, it's so good.
You just
and
feel
I mean,
happy. You feel good.
You feel happy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, regardless of the lyrics, because we're honestly not even going to get into the lyrics specifically, because it wasn't written by BTS, we feel the lyrics are not, you know, yeah. that substantial.
And something we also want to add is, like, the rap verses too are not that, there's not much going on with the rap verses. And we think that yeah. a big contributor is that BTS did not actually work on this song, which is crazy.
Right. There's words there, but there's not a lot of like deeper thought or content behind the words, which normally we get in BTS songs. So I think you can kind of tell that from the lack of complex rap verses or, you know, anything else, mm-hmm. That this really wasn't written by them.
Yeah. But I do like, you know, the mantra of stay gold.
I love the mantra of it. And I think like the stay gold and the feeling that BTS puts behind when they sing this song, their delivery, you understand the whole thing just mm-hmm. from listening without any lyrics, without looking up what it means, you know exactly. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I really enjoy that. Yeah.
Taeyong ended up saying that the message of this song is don't lose your spark, although there aren't only good things in the world. It's a beautiful song with this message. And that really, I felt, summed up what Stay Gold is.
Yeah. What a good time for them to release a song like this too. Like mm-hmm. this type of music, this type of uplifting music is what we really need right now. You know, I feel like when I'm getting down about this global pandemic and this whole situation and all of my worries about like the impending school year and everything, when I listen to this song, I can kind of feel like it's going to be okay. I can feel more positive about it.
We can overcome this, that it'll, you know, things will get better.
And not to lose my spark, for me to stay gold.
Don't lose your spark. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're all staying gold.
Mm-hmm.
So for the performances of Stay Gold, I just right off the bat here have to talk about Jin and how powerful he is with this song, especially when he's singing Stay Gold, because it kind of like keeps going up like increments, like the chords or notes. I wish I knew more about music, but like, you know, it builds and he goes up a little bit in pitch. And oh man, you can see him when he performs this. He is so powerful. He is belting. He is giving all of his breath into this Stay Gold every time he sings it. And I just, oh man, I like when every time he sings Stay Gold, I'm like wrecked.
I thought about the term that you're describing, the key changes, every single time that he goes up in a, you know, in a pitch belting out Stay Gold. Oh my God, he's so incredible. I love in this song, the Stay Gold is kind of shared by like him and Jimin and Jimin's like beautiful runs, like his beautiful tone of his voice balancing with Jin's powerhouse is just, I think it's awesome. It's incredible. Makes for such a good sound. And really props to the vocal line all around. Like their voice, Taeyong's like honey voice, Jungkook, of course, beautiful always, stable king, just perfection. Stable.
He really, I will say Jungkook carries this song. And I kind of feel the same way about Your Eyes Tell when we get into it. But like he's not doing a whole lot of showing off as much as some of like, especially Jin and Jimin in this song, but he's just that stable, consistent vocalization that goes on. That's still beautiful, so beautiful and controlled. But yeah, I think he drives the whole song. Jungkook
does. He's like the foundation, you know, lead singer foundation, just being a really great base for everybody to be able to build off of.
Yeah. Honestly, this episode might as well just be like a vocal line episode. I'm just thinking about like everything we're about to get into.
Seriously.
But for the Stay Gold performance, I really love how all of them are just happy and cute and bouncing. But specifically Taeyong just wrecks me and makes my heart melt with how playful and cute he is. There's a couple times where he winks at us and he's just having a really good time being a good boy, you know, and just being so cute and happy.
Yeah, I especially love Jikook at the end wrapping the song up together, singing back and forth. I think it is so cute.
Adorable.
They kind of mirror each other. They make the same movements and like turn and look and smile at each other. It is so fucking adorable.
It's so adorable. I love that they clearly plan to do that with each other.
Yeah. Super cute. Something else that to me is hilarious is like the rap line are essentially like non-existent, like not doing anything. They have very short verses, you know, super quick little verses. This is a very vocal line dominant song. And so for the majority of these performances, regardless if they're like standing or sitting or whatever, they're just kind of there, you know,
chilling.
But something that is totally unnecessary and uncalled for is the way that Namjoon decides to chill. Okay. Like,
yeah.
In this one video, he was sitting over to the side, like he was all the way on the end. He is not supposed to be grabbing attention. Okay. And he's over there, like just looking like this fucking CEO daddy, like looking way too hot. This camera angle is like hitting his jawline. And yeah, so I was completely wrecked by him during these performances. Yeah,
jaw clenched just slightly.
Stop.
Like, come on.
And then
uncalled for.
And then what's kind of funny and cute is that Yoongi, there's one performance where they're seated and he's like literally sitting still the entire time, just like chilling. But then of course Hobi is sitting right next to him, bringing this cute like happy energy. So there's like this really cute soap balance right there. But the rap line does so little that they're literally trying to vibe.
It's a little amusing to watch, just because what are they supposed to do? Some of the songs, I will say, like you can hear them going
it's
whatever.
Funny the ad libs that they add in, because like what else are they doing?
What are they gonna do? So the next song on the album that is a newer song is Your Eyes Tell. The track is going to be featured in the original soundtrack of a Japanese film, which is also titled Your Eyes Tell. But this song is especially significant because of the production. This track was co-written and produced by none other than our golden maknae, Jeon Jungkook. And it is such a beautiful melody. And really, it just melts our hearts. And just to hear that this was written by Jungkook, you can really see it put forth in the song. You can see a lot of his style put in and the lyrics as well.
Yeah, completely. You can tell that this is from him, you know. He does such a beautiful job with putting this song together, and I'm just so, so proud of him. Like,
I am too.
I think this song is absolutely beautiful and just so passionate and incredible. Like, the production of it, it's catchy, but it's powerful and it's a little bit somber, and it's, you know,
without even looking up the lyrics,
you
definitely feel emotion with this song. It provokes a lot of emotion.
It's a very strong song in that regard. We're gonna talk about some of the lyrics specifically in this song, because since it was written by a BTS member, of course they're incredible and deep. So one of the ones that I want to talk about right at the beginning, literally first lyrics of the song, Jungkook says, "Why are my eyes filled with tears?" And Taeyong, I imagine Taeyong is like turning to him, and he says, "Hey, stay by my side and laugh." And
oh my gosh,
I love it, because
that's so sweet.
This is, I mean, if you're, I'm thinking about this song as Jungkook, you know, writing to his youngs, as he does, because he just feels such love for them. And this is, it's just, it's setting up the tone of the song, of having this sadness, but still this, this hope of, well, let's just laugh together. Let's stay together and laugh, you know? But it's so sweet that it's Taekook. Just adorable.
It's so fitting. It's so fitting, because Jungkook really is a sensitive boy. Like, he really feels a lot.
Yeah.
And to hear Taeyong, who's this total goofball, say, you know, "Hey, stay by my side and laugh." It's very sweet.
Yeah.
It's Taekook.
Taekook. But I just think, I'll just say right now that I think the way that Jungkook kind of wrote these lines, I think he wrote them for different people, you know. And I think not only is there really a mostly even division of lines in these, in this song, but I think that he wrote them with intention.
Among the vocal line.
Yeah, among the vocal line, for sure. So the next line I want to talk about is where it says, "Even the darkness we see is so beautiful. Please believe me." And then Jimin says, "Looking only directly at you so you don't go away." And to me, this kind of spoke to me because it, like, the darkness we see is so beautiful. It's like, even in the darkest of times, you can look back on it, or even in the moment, you can still find things that you're grateful for. You can look back on a dark time and see where you grew from it and what you got from it. And so you can say that even though that was a dark time, there is still beauty in it. And I love that sentiment.
Yeah, it's very true.
It's very true. And then the looking only directly at you so you don't go away just makes me think of, again, like Jungkook's big desire and BTS's desire to stay together and to, like, continue, you know, like they keep mentioning, like, oh, 10, 15, 20 years, like whatever, you know, and just looking at each other, looking to each other, so that way they don't fade away into nothing, yeah. You know?
None of them want that. None of them want that, but mm-hmm. that seems to be a fear that they all have, mm-hmm. is somehow becoming disconnected from each other, yeah. or like something in their future just kind of pulls them apart. And that's a fear for all of them, and they just don't want to lose each other.
Yeah. I think they're still kind of going through that trauma of the potential disbanding that they spoke about, mm-hmm. and like that worry of getting back to that place, you know. But I feel like when any of them speak about anything related to this topic now, they just talk about like how much they want to be together. Like Jimin just said he hopes that in 20 years they could still have dorm life, like, you know, why not, you know?
Yeah. Aww, yeah. So sweet. Yeah, yeah. They just love each other so much. A line that I really liked from Your Eyes Tell is, "The gazing eyes are so colorful. I'll give my everything to you. Still unable to verbalize the hopeless dream in my heart." So I love just the description of these gazing eyes are so colorful, that like all of his members, and I even go as far to say ARMY too, that like he wants to give himself to everyone, mm-hmm. to all of us and to BTS, because like he just sees such beauty and he just, you know, really admires all of us. I mean, he has like ARMY tattooed on his hand, yeah. that has also incorporated the other members' like stage names.
Yeah.
So it just blows my mind. But then the second half where the lyrics say, "Still unable to verbalize the hopeless dream in my heart."
Mm.
I think that the way that they're feeling and the way that Jungkook is feeling is hard to verbalize. And I think like we've talked about just the BTS and ARMY relationship and how it's really hard to explain. So for him to say this like hopeless dream in his heart, that he feels like this dream is almost hopeless, like that it's maybe not possible, but he can't even really get it out how mm-hmm. how he really feels and what he really wants from like all of this.
Well, because doesn't it seem like this dream, like what if you asked him, what's your ultimate dream regarding BTS? It seems like it would be for us to always be together and make music together, always. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that does seem like a hopeless dream. You brought up a really good point in our research yesterday when talking about this, and you said that look at all of these different boy bands, look at all these different groups, you know, not just K-pop groups, but Western groups, they all end up coming to an end. They disband, they go off, yeah. they, you know, do individual music or stop making music or whatever. And so there's almost like this inevitability feeling where mm-hmm. people, you know, people are almost expecting, just waiting for this to happen, yeah. to BTS also.
There's this anticipation of this impending doom that like something is going to happen where somehow they like end up disbanding or mm-hmm. whatever. And I think it's just because of the pressure of historically how things have gone.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that they talk about it, they think about it. I'm sure their friends and family and even armies and people who are just acquaintances may even bring this up to them. I'm sure if it's crossed my mind and your mind, surely it's crossed theirs mm-hmm. a lot. And I think like even in some docuseries, we see them hit the topic of this. And just to see that they almost disbanded at one point as well. Like, Jungkook's life is literally BTS, mm-hmm. you know? So I can't imagine how devastating of an idea and concept that is for him. Yeah. So, yeah.
And also it's this worry about if they if they start to lose popularity, if there's a decline in the amount of new armies or the amount of album sales or whatever, you know, if that's going to have an effect on them being together and making music too. So there's like this worry about how good can we be? How long can we stay number one? And I think, you know, I don't come after me because I'm the biggest BTS stan, but like, there's going to be another generation and there's going to be somebody who breaks more records and, you know, it's just, it's going to happen. And I hope that, you know, just for the sake of the culture that it does, you know, that there's always growth and progress. That doesn't mean that I'm ever going to stop standing BTS and thinking that they're the best group in the world. Yeah. But if there is a, you know, if somebody comes along that's gets more support than them and is better than them, you know, what does that mean for them at that point? I would still support them, but I'm sure they're wondering, what does our future hold in that case? Yeah.
There's a lot of worry that I'm sure goes with that.
Getting on deep topics.
I know.
I'm just going to share all of Hobie's verse because it's pretty short. And he says, "Shadows of the past keep on chasing me, but the more I try to escape and struggle, the more it follows. But I still want to hold on to it. Wherever you are, I'll find you, to a tomorrow of us." And I just love this whole thing because it's that kind of the same theme that we're going on. Like, the first part of this verse is talking about this worry, and the second part is this hopefulness that it's going to be okay and they will find each other. I also really wanted to bring this up because he brings up this shadow, obviously such a big theme in Map of the Soul 7. And again, bringing it up at how this shadow, everything that's, you know, on them, clutching to them from their past, is really still there and hanging on to them, trying to drag them down. But they're still choosing, to me, this verse is saying they're still choosing to hold on to each other, to find each other, to find a tomorrow for them, whatever that may look
like. It kind of acknowledges those conflicts of the past that could potentially lead to further conflicts or conflicts that they know they'll come across in the future. But again, having that optimism of, you know, wherever we are, we'll find each other, the tomorrow of us.
It's interesting that you put it that way, like in the scope of their past conflicts too, not just anything external that's acted on them. But it's almost like a relationship, like a marriage or something.
Where it is.
You get into big arguments and you have big conflicts, and there are really complex issues that go along with married life and, you know, being two adults together, you know? But you know that throughout everything, throughout every conflict, that your relationship is the most important and that you will outlast and figure out whatever issues there are going on, because you just know that your relationship's more important. And this verse kind of seems like that's what they're doing. That's what they're actively choosing.
Like their love and their relationship can conquer all of that.
Yeah.
So lastly, the line that I also really liked was, "To be loved, to love someone, I'll become your eye for the adventure that lies ahead." So again, this, I love this kind of optimism here at the end of mentioning love and becoming your eye and for the adventure that lies ahead. That maybe for all of BTS or even their relationship with ARMY, that maybe it'll be different in the future, but, you know, there's still love, and that, you know, we've really become a major part of each other's lives, and they've become a major part of each other's lives, and that even though in the future things are going to be different, that's inevitable because they will be. They're seeing it and looking at it as an adventure ahead, that, you know, something new, something to look forward to instead of, you know, not be looking forward to.
I mean, and I'll become your eye. I'll be looking out for you is what that's saying to me, you know, together, and I'll look out for you and you'll look after me, you know?
Yeah. I love that.
I love this song. Like, I mean, these lyrics are incredible, but I feel like I got all of this emotion and feeling, and I knew that it was going to be something super deep and passionate just from listening to the song.
Definitely, yeah. It's a ballad. It's a total ballad. I really do think it's a lot about, like, this fear of losing each other, but ultimately knowing that the love is everlasting and it can never be lost.
Yeah, so true. I love that you said it's a ballad. It's a total ballad. It's like, and they do ballads so well. Our vocal line is just
the vocal line.
Incredible for ballads.
Yes.
Wow.
So for the performances of this song, we really have to hone in on how Jungkook's voice is so emotionally devoted to how he sings and delivers the song. Right at the beginning of the song, when he's looking at you while he's singing these super sweet, comforting lyrics, and you're just, oh man, he really hits you. And you can just see all of the feeling and emotion that he's putting into it.
Yeah. You know, one could argue that these lyrics have nothing to do with BTS themselves, and they just wrote it because it is a soundtrack for this movie, and, you know, it's fitting that theme or whatever. But when you see Jungkook's performance, when you see the emotion behind his eyes and you hear it in his voice, you know that these lyrics are true to him.
Yeah.
You know that he wrote them from a real place of knowledge and real emotions.
Definitely.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the performances of the song because I felt like they were so simple, like really low production value, in that they didn't have like a stage that, I mean, they didn't have props or anything. One of the performances was literally like stools and a red curtain behind them. Very simple, but super high quality, you know, low production cost, but super high quality, in that like, the vocals are incredible. The, you know, the passion, the emotion, everything is incredible, that it's like they stripped away everything else that could distract from BTS, because honestly, they don't need it. They don't need any of that to keep your attention. All you need to keep our attention for this performance is just them sitting there and singing it, because it's just that stunning.
They can just really focus in, and we can really focus in on just their vocals for this performance and for this song.
Yeah, dude, their vocal ranges for this song are insane. Like,
I know.
They all go from very low to very high, and different variations of belting it out, and kind of a crescendo and decrescendo, and lots of vocal control with like what they do and how they do it. Again, so many props to the vocal line for their
live
amazing
vocals. Yeah, you were saying earlier, only BTS where the performances sound better than the track.
Yeah, like literally, I was listening to these tracks in the car with Jordan, and I was like, man, you really have to listen to these. You really have to watch these live performances, because Jin's vocals are going to blow you away when you listen to it live. You know, it's like even better than the actual record.
Yeah.
BTS really is the only one that their live is better than the CD.
Yeah. So the last new song for the album is their outro, which is Outro The Journey. And just kind of like the intro, we get a lot of that instrumental. And it has so many varying, changing beats and tones that just kind of bounce around for the outro. I really like the outro. I heard a lot of people really love the intro. And I like the intro too, but for some reason I like the outro, which I really liked outro crack. So maybe I just like outros.
Yeah, maybe. I love that you said that it is like bouncing around, because it's totally how it kind of feels, a little bit bouncy. And they have those like hi-hat drums that kind of sound like clapping, which really adds to that rhythm and that beat. It's very enjoyable to listen to. There's also, over the top of this, and you can really hear it at the beginning, is this crackling sound as if the song's being played from a record player, which I really like. And it reminds me of when we were like, oh, this song sounds like it's on a phonograph. What song was that?
A phonograph, yeah.
Yeah, like we were like, there's this phonograph effect over it. So again, it's like they're experimenting with like vintage sound qualities too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I remember when you said phonograph for the first time on the podcast, you're like, wait, is that too old? Like, is that too old? Right. Is it just vinyl? But, you know, it's like the phonograph. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not your typical record player.
Right. But this one seems like vinyl more so than like the phonograph sound.
I would say. Yeah. I would say so.
You're the one with an actual record player in this relationship.
I am.
So you would
just
know.
Packed it away.
All packed up.
Exciting. Mm. Yeah, so this outro really brings you out of these slight somber feelings of Your Eyes Tell. So it really is kind of bringing you out of it. The sound of it is elusive, kind of reflective, as if you've had this mental clarity. I just think that is what an outro should do, that, you know, you kind of have this, oh, wow, it's like epiphany all coming together at this point.
Yeah. Definitely get a little bit of that epiphany vibe. The mental clarity, I think, is huge. Like, the vibe of this song really contributes to that kind of fresh feeling. And it really does a great job of pulling us out of that somber, super passionate ballad of Your Eyes Tell. But there's still a little bit in there, you know, but it has that, again, a little bit upbeat. I wouldn't say super upbeat, but just, you know, kind of calming feeling more so. Yeah. There in this song has the distorted vocals from Your Eyes Tell, just like they did in Outro Crack, and they had Let Go vocals. This one has some from Your Eyes Tell, and they're kind of distorted over a piano. And what it does in this sense with the song coming after Your Eyes Tell is, to me, like, really creates an echo of the song. It's almost like, you know, the song finished and it's just kind of still floating around in the ambiance of the room.
It's still there, yeah. But you're in this kind of different
in between space. Yeah. It's like not silence, but not like the full song. And I also think that just because it ends with this instrumental distorted vocals, then it's easy to just restart the album from that point and go right back into the intro.
Into it, definitely.
So overall, I love all of the new songs that we got from this album. I think Stay Gold is a super happy, super uplifting song. And then I just cannot get over the beautiful lyrics and delivery of Your Eyes Tell and just how passionate and emotional of a song it is.
It sounds so strange for me to say this because I really enjoyed Face Yourself, enjoyed Face Yourself. But when they released a new Japanese album, I wasn't all that excited for it. I was kind of like, oh, yeah, right. Yeah, I'll listen to the songs, whatever. And of course, I fell in love with these songs and I've been listening to them. And I just don't understand why I'm not as excited for it as I would like a regular album, which kind of makes sense because there's not all new music. But the new music that is on this album is, of course, terrific. I love Stay Gold and Your Eyes Tell, but also Outro the Journey. I like listen to that from time to time too now because I really do love it.
Yeah. And I listen to the intro because I feel like this, I get this little like in a,
I love how different it is. It's so different for them. And they're just always exciting and changing things up. And, you know, I obviously stan. Like, I really think BTS are just incredible. And I think, you know, they never disappoint.
No, they don't. And I'm happy that they put this album out. I think maybe we just didn't feel the hype around it as much because we didn't know that they were going to do any promos or anything like that.
Yeah, that was really surprising. Yeah.
You were in the morning that it came out. You texted me and you're like, so BTS put out an album? And I was like, I have been like in a quite a depressive state in the past like a couple weeks, and so I have not really been on social media like Stan Twitter at all, and so I feel like I was so out of the loop, and you texted me that they put out a Japanese album. I'm like, where the fuck have I been? Clearly like just nowhere. Oh yeah, guys, we have to tell you that next week we will not have an episode for you because I am going up to Chicago to house sit and dog sit for my parents while they are going to go and celebrate their 30th wedding anniversary. We won't be able to record because we'll be up there. And then you have a bachelorette party?
I have a bachelorette party, and then I'm also going to Yellowstone the full week, and then I'm moving to Kansas City. So yeah, a lot of stuff is coming up this coming week. So just wait, you know, be patient. We'll be back the following week after that. I don't know what day that is. That the first week of August, I guess, is when we'll release our newest episode, which will probably be the fanfic files, is what we're thinking.
Because it was way too long, our gap between fanfic files last time and the previous one. And we just don't want to wait that much longer. And we want to do the fanfic files again.
Yeah, we're excited for it.
Super excited. But thank you guys for being patient with us. It's a really crazy time in our lives, especially Bethany getting ready to move and start a new job.
And
I know, it's so exciting. But, you know,
I'm like in this kind of reflective moment of my life right now. And yeah, it's been really, really fun to kind of just think about all of what's gone on these past couple months with being unemployed and just kind of how tough it was. And I learned a lot about myself. So I'm in this transitional moment of my life, and that's just exciting for me. I live for that.
Look at you. I feel like these songs can really speak to you right now.
I think so too.
Yeah. I'm so proud of you, and I'm so happy for you. And I know how hard this whole time of unemployment has been on you. And I just am so happy that you are out of it and that you're like, you've made it through and you're already able to like look back and be like, oh, look how I grew.
I think that's incredible. Lots of self-growth that went on. Yeah. I'm excited to be with you.
I still like, can't believe it. It's not real.
We have not been together at all for the existence of the podcast.
Never. We've never lived in the same city the entire time that we've been doing this podcast. And you know what? Like, I don't even, what are we going to do? Like,
that's what I was kind of thinking. Like, how is it going to change? But I'm sure the podcast will change to some extent since we'll be in the same place.
I don't even know if are we going to try to record together, or we're going to have to completely change our setup or adapt our setup to be able to do that.
Are we going to use just one mic? Or are we going to just be together and use two mics? You know, just wow. Lots to think about.
There is a lot to think about there, but it's very exciting. And we're ready to be in the same city. I can't believe it.
Yay.
Yeah. Yay. All right, guys. Thank you for listening today. If you enjoyed this episode, or if you've enjoyed any of our previous episodes, there's a few things that you can do for us to let us know. First of all, you could write a review on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, wherever you listen also, but it just really helps us go up the charts. It helps like sponsors find us. Like every time you guys write a review is more of a chance that we can get a sponsorship, which is huge to us and means so much to us. You guys write really sweet, amazing things, and we are so grateful and thankful that we have such an incredible community of iconics here. You guys can also give us a voice message on our website, anchor.fm/standingbts, or you can email us, or you can DM us on Instagram or Twitter. And of course, links for all of those things can be found in the description.
Thanks for listening, and thanks for standing BTS.
Spring is in the air at Littleton Coin Company, and we want to help you brighten your collection. Visit us at littletoncoin.com all month long to enjoy 15% off your purchase. With a wide selection of coins, paper money, supplies, and more, Littleton Coin Company has something for every collector's taste. Use promo code SPRING at littletoncoin.com for 15% off your purchase all month long. Restrictions apply. Littleton Coin Company, serving collectors since 1945.